Jim Taylor on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. We'll get a chance today to talk a little bit about the shot clock subject involving high school basketball in Illinois. Tyrone Slaughter runs a great program in the Chicago Public League at Whitney Young High School, home of the Dolphins. All right, Coach, good to have you on. So sell it to our listening audience. Why should Illinois high school basketball have a shot clock?
Well, Jim, first of all, let me just say I'm honored to be able to be on the program with you and your listeners this morning to discuss a urgent, and many of us believe, a important need to institute the shot clock here in our state for our high school basketball association. I think so many times when we hear shot clock, I think a lot of people believe that it will take away from the nuances of the game that so many of us have come to love and appreciate with high school basketball. But I think what many people don't recognize is that the game itself is much more greatly enhanced by the use of the shot clock in many different ways. I think this past summer during the pandemic, there was a large segment of coaches that had gotten together and discussed the both need and the desire to have a shot clock. And what we found based on the conversations that we had with a large segment of the coaches, not just those guys that play with super athletic teams or teams that would be considered running teams, but schools that play a much slower paced game, was that the desire to have the shot clock in their estimation was good for the game because it did a couple of things. One, it made our players better players because at that point, all players need to be capable of doing something with the basketball versus just a couple of players. Our coaches and the ones that we spoke with that historically a play, wouldn't one believe, a much slower pace, a much more methodical pace, their suggestion was that they don't do it necessarily because they are opposed to the shot clock. They do it because the rules allow it to be done, and it's more difficult for teams to compete against them, and not because they're afraid or they're apprehensive about competing against teams that play a different style. I think those are some of the misnomers about the shot clock, is that people only want to play with the shot clock because they have better teams, while teams that are probably not as talented want to play without a shot clock because they're not. I think that what we found was coaches that would fall under the latter category, they believed that it was just a rule that was allowing them to do that, but they felt very comfortable because what they also believed was that what they do offensively was more effective if, in fact, they had to play with a shorter period of time and those players were able to execute. So I think those were a couple of those misnomers that people had about the shot clock. I think when we looked at it, some of the pluses that we kind of outlined as we did our due diligence was, one, it actually makes coaching much better because you have to coach the entire game, not, you know, a particular time. I mean, we're not say time, but a particular player. You have to coach every player. You have to develop players because then players become much more adept at scoring the ball because at any point the ball may be in your hand toward the end of a shot clock. So now we can't just throw up anything or continue to run until we get the ball, i.e. to our best player. Every player has to be competent. I think the other part is we talk with people and we send out a questionnaires. The fans want to see the game played at a different place. And the pace is a much more offensive pace, not a beat it up, grind it out every possession defensive pace. Another thing that we found was officials. Officials are much more amenable to the shot clock because they are far more alert given the fact that they know that on this end of the floor for a particular period of time, they must be engaged because at a point there becomes a violation or there becomes the end to a possession versus just having to be on the court watching guys pass. I think that many times we fail to realize games are better when the officiating is better. And then I think the overall bigger concern was, as we look at the game of basketball across the country, clearly across the world, everyone outside of America plays with a shot clock down to the grade school levels. And as a result of it, their players are better. Their brand of basketball in many ways is better because it's a much more free-flowing game. But I think the thing that we found, and whether or not you play in a system that's a grinded-out system or a much more up-tempo system, every player literally to a man desires to play with the shot clock, because what we found and what we know based on talking with players is every level wants to emulate the level ahead of them. Whether they're in college, they want to emulate that which is done in the pros, what's done in college. The high school kids want to emulate what's done at the college level. And we know that the argument becomes, well, everyone is not going to play in college. And that is absolutely true. But everybody that plays in high school, whether they simulate on to college, that is their college. So at the standpoint of me being a high school player and that ends my career, I would like to have felt like I played at the next level. So I think there are a lot of different reasons why the shot clock is important. But I think more importantly, I think the thing that we have to look at is the game has changed. It is changing and it is constantly evolving. I think that in the state of Illinois, we need to get on the bandwagon of change, and we need to do it sooner than later. And we're happy to see that the National Federation has adopted the opportunity for states to individually accept or reject the shot clock.
Well, and that's a strong opening statement by Coach Slaughter. And the reason we're talking about this subject is because of the IHSA board meeting held in June, and their information they disseminated is they've agreed to work on creating a timeline and process for gathering input from member schools during this next school year, 2021-2022. And then concerning the possible implementation of the shot clock, it would be the following school year at the earliest, 2022-2023. Now, I know talking to you basically, private messaging, You believe kind of that legwork has already been done. You'd like to see that adopted sooner than 2022, 2023? Is that what I'm hearing?
We ideally would love to see that. There's a group of coaches that kind of put together. We did a lot of the legwork in relation to polling. We polled literally 95% of the high school coaches, boy and girl, in the state of Illinois. So we didn't leave anyone out. We everyone actually received a questionnaire from us that we asked them to engage in, and they got back, and we got about a 80% response of the 97% that we sent out, which we believe is phenomenal. And of that number, it was an overwhelming desire to have the shot clock in both boy and girl, both small and large schools, and we were able to break that out. And what we also found was that people were really interested in trying to do it sooner than later. I think what we heard from some coaches, and this was kind of, it was interesting in that there were some coaches who had talked about the fact that they were up in age and up in years of coaching, and they didn't know how much longer they would coach, but they would love to coach with the shot clock before their tenure as coaches came to an end. So when we started looking at that, and then we talked to players that are saying, you know, I only have a year or 2 years left of high school, we would also like to play with the shot clock. It becomes more incumbent upon the state to move judiciously versus to drag their feet and talk about things that have pretty much already been discussed. I think one of the things that we've talked about ad nauseum was the fact that many people will talk about the cost of implementing a shot clock. We, in our group, and it was an exhaustive effort, and we spent weeks talking about this, days talking about this, hours discussing it, talking about the pros, looking at the cons, answering the questions. And one of the prevailing concerns that many people will oftentimes raise is the cost to implement a shot clock. We actually went to all of the shot clock manufacturers, and we talked to them about pricing. We talked to them about discounting for school systems. We talked about ways in which we could help to support able school systems to purchase shot clocks. We've talked about all of those things. We've come up with plans. We've done all of those things. So I think when we start talking about that which will prevent us from having it, I think it's more than anything else, It is a will to get it done. If you look at the National Federation, if you look at the basic rule changes, the biggest rule change that basketball has had over the last 10, 15 years has been the positioning of where you stand in the lane on a rebound. And I would tell you that 99.9999% of the coaches, when that rule was enacted, did not know it, did not care. All we did was got with the rule. That's all we did. So when we look at the shot clock, I think like anything else, you go back when they started the 3-point shot. There was a myriad of coaches that were against that. That has not been a problem for our game. We've adapted and we've gotten better. So when you say we'd rather have it sooner than later, the question is simply to be asked, why must we continue to wait? Let's roll it out. Let's experiment with it in the rollout, and then let's move from there. They're going to be the questions, and there always will be the questions about money. If you look around our state, 90% of our school districts are building new football stadiums. They're putting in turf. And I can tell you that is far more expensive than it is to purchase a set of shot clocks, which you can get from $2,500 upward to Cadillac models or Bentley models of $10,000-$12,000. It's just what your palate will have. So again, I think the question is really, how long should we wait to do that, which we know that the vast majority of our schools and institutions and coaches, they want. And I would just say that the time is right. The time is now. Let's bring basketball back to our state next year in a big, impactful, and exciting way with the advent of the shot clock in an experimental manner, and then move on from there.
All right. And then, you know, you've already hinted at it, you know, across gender lines, so boys and girls, and all levels, I'm assuming, varsity, sophomore, JV, freshman. And then is it, you want 35? Is that the proper length for the shot clock?
And now that was one of the things that we did not poll, in the sense that we did not want to cloud the information that we presented to the IHSA. We wanted to allow the IHSA collaboratively with the coaches, athletic directors, and that to figure that number out. Whether it's 30, 35, you know, that really wasn't the basis of it for us at the standpoint. We all had our opinions, of course, but we did not want that to be a point that we got stuck on. So if we said 35, we would have had so many coaches, oh no, it's got to be 30. And then we would have been fighting about a time. So what we said was, we're not going to inject time. What we're going to do is inject the thought of having the clock. That was one. The other thing that we did, we looked at some of the other states that had implemented the shot clock. And what they did was, it was a rolling initiation. It was, you know, varsity first, sophomore basically came on the year after, and then those schools that wanted to start experimenting with freshmen, they could do that within that second to third year. And freshmen, we wanted to make sure we got it, but it wasn't that we need to get that one done right away. So again, we actually had a timeline on all of it, and we thought those timelines were good timelines that would bring us the shot clock, and it would bring us the shot clock in a much more systematic but a much more thoughtful manner that allowed us to actually have the clock. And if I could say one other thing, you know, the other big argument was, oh, who do you get to run the clocks and who does that? Well, what we thought about was that we have a lot of officials today that are transitioning out of the game, but they still love the game. Physically, they're not able to deal with the up and down. Those would be perfect people to be shot clock operators, you know, at a marginal cost. And again, we understand there's another cost, and we always hear cost, so we don't do it. I think that we looked at that and we said, even if you put in shot clocks initially, if you said you were going to add a surcharge to every ticket sold of a dollar for 2 years or a year, boy and girl, you would generate more than enough money to purchase the shot clocks. That would be first. And then if you added 50 cents a game, or however one chose to do it, just so that it could happen, you could also hire a retired official to be your official shot clock operator if you could not find suitable and adequate shot clock operators within your own school system. So again, there are many ways that we can do this. I think that we have to get past the ability and the desire for everyone just to look at it and say no. And we need to get to yes.
All right. And I just have one final question. Great input from Tyrone Slaughter, the head basketball coach at Whitney Young out of Chicago. You know, I always think Illinois, and this is slightly off topic here, is that there's such great basketball tradition, and I love the great nicknames and mascots throughout the great state of Illinois. And I think Whitney Young always has one of the great mascots. Do you know why or what the origination was of how they came up with Dolphins as a nickname at Whitney Young High School? Do you know the story behind that, I guess?
Well, the story, as the legend would have it, is that when Whitney Young opened in 1975, it was opened up as a magnet high school, of which it drew students from around our city, from every corner of our city, and it was a test-based admissions, as it is still today. Whitney Young is one of the top four academic institutions in our state and a top 70 academic institution in the nation. And as a result, when they were looking for the mascot, what they identified was they wanted something that was commensurate with high academics. And so what they found was dolphins being one of the smartest mammals in the water and one of the smartest animals on the planet. Thus, it became the Whitney Young Dolphins.
Oh, that is awesome. That is great. Thanks for the backstory. That is tremendous. Awesome. So I learned something. Well, I learned a lot about the shot clock today, but I learned about another great nickname in the great state of Illinois. Well, I know, Coach Slaughter, you have a great program up there at Whitney Young. I like following you in the public league, and you always get downstate at the state tournament. So we appreciate you coming on and sharing your views on the shot clock.
Well, we appreciate you having us. And again, I want to make sure that everybody recognizes that I have probably held the ball longer than most teams, and I do it because the rules allow it. That's the only reason that I've done it. It's not because that's the way I want to play. And so I think the misnomer is that the teams that are more talented only want the shot clock because they're more talented. No, we want it because we believe the game is better served with it. And there was, and it's not just me. We had a number of phenomenal coaches who helped to spearhead it, but we had tremendous input from so many coaches around our state who joined us on Zoom calls. And we discussed this thing during the pandemic. And if nothing good came out of the pandemic, the conversation about the shot clock was clearly one of those for our state. And I'm just proud to have been one of the cogs in that wheel to help to facilitate the conversation.
Awesome. Tyrone Slaughter, head coach of Whitney Young, joining us on WRMJ.